Hello and welcome back to the Wrestling Podcast. That's wrestling spelled W-I-S-T-L-I-N-G. It's all of the graps, but without the E. But of course, me and G, we're not anti-E, we're simply pro wrestling. My name is Liam, this guy is Gareth.
Hey!
And hello again, friends. Thank you very much for joining us once more. And for those of you that checked out the Nina Samuels interview last week, thank you very much. I do hope you enjoyed it, and we'd love to hear your comments. If you haven't already, do check it out. It's a good one.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, great to have Nina on. You know, talking Eve, talking all those titles, talking her time in NXT UK. Yeah, it was a real treat.
Indeed. And we're keeping it going. We have got one of our old favorites, one of our podcast regulars, although it's been over a year since we last spoke to him. One of our forever friends is the wonderful, the ace of Choco Pro, Bali and Aki's back.
Yes. Lovely to have Aki back on the show. So much has happened. So much has changed in that just about a year since we last spoke. Really nice peering into the sort of inner thinkings of Aki at the moment.
Yeah.
It's almost a stream of consciousness. He really just lets us know where his head is at, you know, with regards to wrestling at the moment.
100%. So we'll get straight to it because it is quite a long one. You don't need to hear us natter on for too long. But one thing I would say is that unfortunately my connectivity just absolutely fell off a cliff towards the end. So if you're wondering why I stopped speaking, that's largely it. Anyway, here we go. Welcome back to the Wrestling Podcast, Bali and Aki. Here he is.
Hey
guys, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hey dude, yeah. How are you doing?
Fantastic. Been a long time.
Yeah. We were just talking.
Yeah.
It's been nearly a year.
Liam, dude, mate, you look like you haven't slept since I last saw you.
Me?
Am I joking? Because I used to look like that. I remember we used to talk in Choco Pro days. And I was always sleep deprived. We would talk in like mornings and late. I would just woke up 2 minutes ago or something like that. I remember those days.
Oh man, I had a reasonable sort of 6 hours last night, but I know what you're saying.
That's good.
It's not the optimum 8 hours though, which is required. So
that is true.
I know. This is quite the feat. We're doing this across three time zones now, because you know, obviously
fantastic.
Gareth is
literally at every part.
South. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're covering the lot.
I'm settled in America now.
Yeah, it's probably is like what, like 7 for you or 6?
6:30.
Depending
30.
on where you are.
Yeah, 6:30. Yeah, I'm in New Orleans, and yeah, just still getting settled. I can't work yet, so I've just got nothing but time. So as soon as we're done here, I'm going back to bed.
Wow, what a beautiful thing, by the way. Just as someone who's a friend of yours, to see you moving across the world, you know, for love.
Oh,
what,
absolutely!
What a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing.
Wow, right?
It's amazing.
That's what poets write about. Am I wrong?
Oh my gosh.
Massively.
You'll appreciate this, Aki. We did so I went out for the wedding and got to do a little speech. And I managed to get a USA chant going, which I, as a wrestling fan, I was thrilled about.
That's what everybody wants.
Box ticked. I am proud right now.
That's all I wanted.
You're looking at a very proud face.
Yeah.
Oh man!
What else can you do? I mean, they you can only do two things. You can either get them to cheer USA, or get, you know, a dad to throw a chair at, like basically a chair at you for how dare you be a heel. Those are the two extremes. You gotta go for either one.
The two ends of the spectrum.
I love that. Yeah, it's the sort of age old thing over here. You always get like an elderly woman who gets irate with a heel and attacks them with a handbag. It's a rite of passage.
Of course, yes, that is true. Yeah. That is true. In the US, I remember now. It's not the dad, it's the grandmas and the moms who go really furious.
This is it.
I remember. I've seen that many times on television. I don't know why I've never like connected those two things.
So where do we even begin? Having sort of not seen.
I think
you
started already like 3 minutes ago. We started with, you know, weddings and
we know too well now. We hit record before we let you in, because you know how this thing goes.
We missed too much good stuff.
I know. Every time we would like do 10 minutes of this, and then we'd be like, oh, we should have started.
Yeah, that would have been really interesting.
That would have been nice. Yeah, that would have been good. So where to begin?
How are you, boys?
Yeah, pretty good, actually. I've had a busy couple of weeks, but I just had a wonderful experience, which I'll just bore you with really quickly, because my wife and my daughter just just got back home from a playgroup just before the podcast.
Oh.
My daughter was like, "Oh, can we play?" And I was like, "No, I got to run upstairs and do something." And she starts grappling me as you would expect. So I put her in the
Course.
paradise lock as
Oh,
a means
wow.
to escape. And as I left the room, I just heard her going, "Mom, Dad's put me in the paradise lock again." I was like, "This is the parenthood I always envisaged. This is it. This is
I like that a lot. I am clapping. Yeah.
it." So
Goals, people.
very good, very good. Yeah. How are you doing? What's going on with you?
What am I doing? Basically wrestling. That's the only thing I really do. I mean, to be real, I used to do a few other things. Now I really just do wrestling. I mean, like, I think quite a lot of things have changed since we last met. I do US now quite a bit. Like, I do way more international now than I did in Japan. And because I do, I think I do less. I am doing less in Japan because I do a lot of outside now, especially last year. Last year was quite a hectic year. I did a lot of Best Bros. I went back to India 3 times. That was a big thing. I really made a point of doing that because I wasn't home for like what, like I think like 3 years and like 9 or 10 months is when I went home after the COVID. So I made a point to go often, and I went there, and it changed so much that it kind of like, I think visiting India after so long, literally in all sense, changed the direction I was taking as a professional in this career. It literally did, because my focus was not there at all, and I visited there, and it was so energetic. Like, the to do something, that feeling, you know, that feeling, sometimes you get it from coffee, just from coffee. Sometimes you have to like run a marathon to get it. Like, that feeling when you get a tingle, like, I need to move right now. Like, that feeling, it's in the fucking air. Just the air. That's how much the country is moving. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't do anything. Like, it's only been like what, like 4 years since I haven't lived there in six and a half year now. That's 7 years, I think, close to seven now. Was the last time I actually lived there. I was 21 when I left India. Really, really left it. And since then, I've been just living somewhere. I would go home every now and then for like 2 weeks. But even the last time I was there, I couldn't even use my money there. Like, the people who were selling shit on their back, you know, like people used to carry in old days and when everywhere. Like, people still do that in India. Like, people carried stuff on their bag and like, do you want to buy this on the road? Even they don't take cash. Like, I didn't have any cash. I was like, car, like stuff like that. And they were like, yeah, I have a QR code. Do you want to pay here? I
That's
was
so
like, what the
funny.
fuck? Like, what are you talking about? And it was just everything, every place you go is building. Every guy you meet is want to start a business. Every farmer you see have a like a motor vehicle now. People, I went around in cars. I'm a dragging my ass through the bus kid. That's where I was. But like, people, it has moved and is moving at like a galactic speed, and I couldn't believe it. Because I one of the biggest reasons I couldn't do anything in India, and I kind of have to leave, which is I feel every now and then a bit guilty about it, because I still get messages from like 14-year-olds, 15-year-olds, like fucking 12-year-old, mostly teenagers. Is I get messages even today, even to this day. I don't even check my Facebook most of the time because I feel heartbroken, because they go like, oh, I've seen you somewhere, I heard about you or something, and I found you, and like, how do you think I do this thing? I want to do this thing so much. What do you do? And you have found a way. How did you find the way? Or can I do this? And all, like, those 1,000 questions like every kid who loves wrestling has when you're like 13. And I get those, and I can't help but end up imagining, like, if I had stayed, like that 10 years, the 7 years, let's just say, after leaving there, that I've spent on myself on this time and everything that I've been able to do, which from somebody might be little, to me is a freaking miracle. Like, I should be fat on my village doing a shop work right now, like in all reality. But I'm here, I live in Japan. The only thing I do is wrestle. I have a professional wrestler's visa. Like I have a work visa as a pro wrestler in four of the three big businesses. I have one in Mexico, I have one in Japan, and I have in US. That it is ridiculous for who I am and where I'm from. But I get those messages, and I can't help but think every now and then, if I just stayed, would that kid have had to reach out to me, or he would just know where to go? Like maybe he would have seen two shows by now in his town
Yeah.
that I brought there. Like those things come in my mind, and I couldn't help. And also, a few of the challenges that I used to really think that's all I did when I was in India, but like being there, I really felt like, oh, this might be time. Like now, depending on how things are and how much technology I've developed, how everybody has a phone now, how buying stuff on a phone is natural now. My village has Amazon. And I'm from like a legit village. Like my town, which is like a town where like the market is, and it's a very good, beautiful town, small town, but it's a very good town. That is by car 30 minutes from my village. My village is in the middle of a freaking jungle. Like, no, it's not jungle. People have like farms, but it's like a little in the middle of farm. And we have Amazon. My mom just orders stuff if she wants. So
That's
like
bizarre, isn't it?
buying stuff on their phone is not a thing now. I can sell tickets now. That was the biggest thing. How do you sell tickets? Where do you sell tickets? It's not a cinema that you can just show up to the venue and buy it. So we have to do like a thousand things, get the locals involved and do this and that, and have to just pray that people on the day show up to the venue, because that's the only way you can sell tickets. Imagine that is the only way, and that is the only way to promote. You just promote holdings on the road. That's the only thing you can do. But
Jeez.
now, and like, I was like, oh, I need to do something here. So I've been making a point, which is costing me a lot, by the way. It's not cheap to go to India. It is breaking my every little penny I have. But I have been trying to go back to India to make
Yeah.
something happen, which is exciting. It is exciting. It is very exciting.
What did May and Emmy think of it?
I brought them.
Yeah.
That's what I did. Like,
It was so
no,
nice.
there's a difference. So we were supposed, I was going to do, I was gonna go to India because I promised back home that I'm coming. I'm like, I promise, like every 3 to 4 months I will make a visit. Because you know, there's also that thing, like, and I think both of you are like family men now, so you must understand where you don't, like, when you think you have like 10 years with people, you don't really. You only have how many times you meet them in those 10 years. If you meet them once in that 10 year, you had 5 minutes. That's what you had. You didn't have 10 years. You had 5 minutes the one time you met them, or 3 days if you met them in 3 days. And because I was away for like 4 years. So that was a big, I couldn't believe how different my parents looked when I went and met them. And my little brother was like a freaking dude now. He was a teenager. What happened? And like, I had nephews that I've never met
Oh, wow.
who
Gosh.
know me, because they're like freaking 3 year, 3 and a half, 4 years old now. So they talk, they run around, they call my name, they've seen me pictures, they've seen my matches. Because like, you know, their elder brothers and sisters show them, like, hey, look at this is our uncle, look at how cool he is and all that
That's
stuff.
very
And they
sweet.
know me. But I don't know that dude at all. This is my first time meeting them. There's like two of them.
Gosh, yeah.
But I'm just like, so I made a point. I'm like, okay, I might have to work extra hard. I might have to do a few things that I don't want to do. And I'm a very hard-headed, stupid dude. I don't really do anything I don't want to do, but I'll do a few things I don't want to do just so I can, you know, travel and, you know, go back every 3 to 4 months. So I was gonna go anyway, and I was gonna go, and because I was gonna go, there was a big show. The company that I started with my partner when I was 19, called Russell Square, they still work. They were gonna do a show in Thailand. So I said, okay, I was gonna go in February, but I'm gonna go in January now. Because if my company is doing a show in Thailand, I mean, I have to go. What's the point of me doing all these things if I can't even do that show? I mean, they can't bring me. I know how much budget we have. It's freaking my company. I know. So I have to travel myself, but I'll go. 100% I'll go. I'll definitely do this. So I was like, okay, I'll just change my plans. I'll go in January, do the show in Thai, which is pretty close to India. It's like 3 hours by flight. 6 hours from now is, I'm like, it's basically in the neighborhood, country-wise. So I'm like, I'll do the both things together and save money at least a little bit. I'm like, okay. And then I told Sarah, I'm like, I'm gonna go from here to here. I'll be doing and you're in Thai. And then Sago-san goes, but I'm here now. I'm like, yeah, you are. That'd be nice. And, you know, but I don't have to worry about Choco Pro and all those things. And she goes, no. I don't know when I'll be in Japan or free the next time. Because she's going to go back.
Yeah, of
And this
course.
time she was able to be here for a long time because she's extending her visa.
Okay,
So
great.
because she's extending her visa, it takes time. I mean, it's a proper, employee kind of visa. You know, she's a contracted wrestler.
I'm very familiar with how long US visa
Yeah, I know the pain, brother. Welcome to this part of the struggle. We should make it the Visa Struggle t-shirt. It will sell so much. Every wrestler would buy it. I don't give a f I don't know about fans, but wrestlers will buy it. I know. So like so she feels like I don't know when I will free. So even if let's just say in 6 months you and May go, I won't be able to go, so I wanna go. Then May wasn't really feeling that well. She was having like a bit of health issues then a little bit. She was kind of under the weather. And then I told May, I'm like, Sago-san is saying that she will go. And then May goes, I might have to drag myself, but I will still go. There's no way you two go and I don't go. I'm like, okay. So I'm like, okay. And three of us are going. But we could have even made more, like, because Chris and Masa were supposed to go for Thailand as well. But then the whole cancer thing happened with Chris, which is a big bummer. But we could have been like five, to be really honest. But in the end, we were three and we went. It is a hilarious thing, by the way, is that in Ami Sakura and Suruga Mei's mind, India is cold, which is the funniest thing to me. Because we have a winter. It's not like we don't. Like that North India has a winter. South we don't, we have none of that shit. But Delhi gets cold. And it gets so cold for like 1 month. And it gets really cold for like 2 weeks. Just two. It starts from like right before around Christmas. Till like 10 January 14, 13. Sometimes it's late, sometimes it's early, but it's 2 weeks, give or take. And we were there, smack dab in the middle of that 2 weeks. And because we only have winter for 2 weeks, nobody prepares for it. You know, it's like you don't have ACs in England, even though you have a summer, right? It's like it's for here for like 2 weeks. Well, why do we need? We will just tough it out. It's like it happens in like this. And the whole year then is just fucking cold, so we need heaters. The same thing. We have like we have nothing that provide heat is anywhere close. And also we don't have snow. Because we don't have snow, we have fog, crazy fog. You don't see your hand fog. That's what I'm talking about. So it was right the fog season, and I was praying, I was like, just not the fog. Because we will be in a car, then we will be in a house. It won't be cold. I know. I mean, I'm not like gonna make you jog through a freaking trail. So like, it'd be all right. But it was crazy fog.
Oh wow.
Crazy fog.
It's funny, everything you're saying sounds so familiar to me because it's almost exactly the same where I am. There's basically, it gets cold so little, the houses don't have heat,
Yeah.
people don't have the clothes for it. And it's the exact
No.
same thing. We had a few weeks where the fog was so, like, there were constant fog warnings. Like, you'd get up
Yeah.
in the morning and, like, yeah,
Yeah.
it was like pea soup out there. You couldn't see your hand in front of your face, basically. So yeah, like
Yes.
that, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, but they had fun. And they had fun, they realized like how different it is. I mean, they couldn't really see a lot because of the constraint we were in, but they fell in love with the food. They were at my home for a day, so they got to meet the family.
Oh, wow.
Had a big cookout and all that. They got to eat like real proper Indian like home food. They both of them were addicted to chai for like a week.
That's
They
so
had
cute.
like 8 times a day. I'm not joking.
Oh, wow.
That's the Indian treat because my dad had that much. So every 2 hour, my dad would go like to my mom was like, you know what? I think it's been some time. What about chai? So that's such a rant. I'm not joking. That's such a natural thing. In my house, and most in the house, to be really honest, because there's one that's like addicted in every family. There's like two of them, and in my family, my dad would go. So anybody want to get some chai? And then May and Sago-san, May would be extra extra. May was like extra. Sago-san would drink it and enjoy it, but May was like like hung on it. So she would be like, yeah, like just hands up, me, I'm coming. And then we would have like chai every freaking 2.5 hour. And it was people call it, was like nice to have like something warm and all. But it was a nice thing. And Sakura-san had some crazy ideas, but I'm like, calm down, please.
That's just Emmy, isn't it?
Yeah,
that is.
Creative.
Yeah.
Well, I did wonder if, you know, she would have thought, you know, that bringing her wrestling mind to India, having seen it firsthand,
Oh
that
yeah, that would be crazy. And like the first, the one of the craziest things she said to me, I think like the day before we left, it was that we went to a few places. We went to the Ganga, that river, and it's right next to Himalayas. So there's two big places in Ganga in India, the river, the holy river. Is one is where it's very famous, where the water is just muddy and it's freaking dirty, and people think that you're gonna get disease and all that because it's been through the whole country. It's called Varanasi. It's a very, very holy, old. It's like a time capsule, I think. Like you can go there and still see people live the way they must have lived 800 to like 1,000 years ago. Like the same food, the same clothes, the same language, the same. This will be funny. The same values from like 500 years ago.
Oh,
It
wow.
is. It's otherworldly to me, and I'm from India, but it is a crazy place. But then there's one other. There's one where the Ganga actually comes from Himalaya. It comes from the glaciers of Himalaya, like the snow from Himalaya. And it's the first town where the Himalayas start. So the first town where it comes down from the mountains, the very first flat, like a straight plain land it touches, the first town off within the mountains end. So this is where the Himalaya mountain range starts.
Wow.
So that town is called Haridwar, which is probably the top three religious and like spiritual and like
Okay.
that godly places in India. But it's very close to my house. It's like 100 and I think it's 140 or something, but pretty close, like 3 4 hours by car. So I was like, oh, I'm gonna take it there. It's pretty close. So we went there. And the first that like their reactions and everything were funny because they went, it's too clean. I'm like, what? Yeah, it is a nice river. I'm like, yeah, it is a nice river. Why do you think it's so famous? I'm like, no. We have seen pictures. It is so different. I'm like, no. This is probably just came out. It's winter also because there's no rain or anything. So the water is freaking pristine clear. This is just melted snow. There's no rainfall or like anything in it. And it's like quite a few crazy experiences. And then that day when we were coming back from it, Sakura-san goes, I'll probably end my career as a promoter in India. And I go, what? As well as, yeah, I think I have like a few more companies in me. Let it go. Like, no jokes. He goes, I have like a two, three more companies in me that I will start in wrestling. But I think the last one will probably be in India. And then it's me and May looking at each other, kind of laughing, kind of not laughing, because we didn't
Yeah.
know how serious he is.
Feels
But
like
she might be pretty
prophecy.
serious. Yeah, she's when she says something like that, it is, yeah, because she's like almost like declaring it, not even like talking to anybody. She's kind of just like throwing it out, like that's what's happening.
Putting it into
So
the universe.
that was quite a moment. Yeah, but I'll probably do something.
What was the show like in the end? Because it was set up as Grapple Max there. It was quite a few different
Yes,
companies, weren't there?
yeah. Oh, that was a crazy show because it was a combined show. It was like a setup and Russell Square combined show together. So there was a lot of Indian talent. I got to wrestle an Indian kid that I've never seen before. I didn't know about him. He like started after I left. He
Oh,
trained at
wow.
my company. Yeah, it's good kid too. But I think if he was like anywhere close where I could like help him, he would have a bright future.
What was his
Yeah.
name?
I think his name was Kevin something.
I know the setup guys are
Kevin.
working on editing the show, so it's going to go up soon, but I'm
Yeah,
looking forward.
probably.
Kevin Malik.
Kevin Malik, good kid. I don't know why
Nice.
his name, why put his name Kevin. I think because he's a fan of Kevin Owens, probably. But Indian kids do that so much. There's like kids named Undertaker and shit. I'm not joking. That is hilarious. It's adorable. I love it. I'm not. You have no idea. There's like Reigns. There's like Rome.
So
Kids
good.
named Roman and Roman something like they either take the first name or the last name from like their favorite wrestler and make a name. There's Cenas out there in India, or like kids who just train for a year in college academy and they have like crazy names. It is the most adorable thing to me.
Well,
I
you
can't
know,
I like No hate from my side. I'm like all in. You can go for it.
Well, I think, just reaching back to our initial backyarding days, I mean, I
Yeah.
went by D. Lee Brown and
That makes sense. Of
yeah.
course. Of
And
course.
You
I
love.
forget what your name was, Gareth.
Which one?
Grandmaster.
So,
Oh,
many personas.
in the very early days, I was instead of Grandmaster Sexay, I was Grandmaster Fate.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
How
it was
awesome is
highbrow
that?
stuff.
Yeah, so instead of the worm,
I'm not
we
joking.
had the
Somebody should
cow.
do that. That might get over. That
You
really might get over. In today's day and age, oh,
never know, right? Is it?
yeah, it probably will be. It will be like a stand-up comedian giving some release to the people. If somebody comes out with the name of like Grandmaster Fatsy, that thing is getting over the day it shows up. 100%, especially in like US or like European Indies, 100%.
Well, guys, you're in the US now. You've
Yeah.
got a chance here.
Oh,
You
I
can make a
mean,
go of this.
yeah,
Yeah, chance.
there's a wildcat. I've got a school here just down the road.
Yeah. What's the I was watching a Wrestle Square show, and
Yeah.
there was something. There's like 3,000 people there. It was a crazy
Oh
atmosphere.
yeah. Oh
But
yeah.
what's the general? Is that sort of standard for Wrestle Square shows? Does it always attract that kind
Yeah,
of?
at least it was when I was there, we were running it. It was hard. They would do like our goal was to do one every month, but we couldn't always. We would do like seven or eight a year. I think we did that for at the I was with less than 2 years. I think I was there for almost 2 years. I was running that company, and we were doing everything
Yeah.
and we can. The last show we did in like an indoor stadium,
Wow.
and we had 5,000 people. We had close to 3,700 tickets sold,
That's
and nobody
incredible.
knew a single thread of us. We were freaking nobody kids. We were like, yeah, because we had nobody. We just the wrestling craze was incredible. We that show was incredible.
Gosh.
It's like a shut down stadium of like a, I think like an 8,000 capacity, like a proper like the kind of venue AEW runs these days, like
Yep.
that kind
Yeah.
of venue, like an 8,000 people venue, and we had close to 5,000 people there. It's the
Wow.
pictures. I like found the pictures, like 4 3 4 months ago, and I couldn't believe it. I sent it to my friend who like Vince, like Vinayak, who runs Russell Square, the dude I started Russell Square with. And I've sent him, I'm like, dude, I can't believe this. If this was real, I forgot how crazy this was. And there was one show where I wrestled Zoro. And we were shit wrestlers too, to be honest with you all. But we were all passion, no skills. And we had like 3,000 people in like an open field, close to it. Yeah. I think that the lowest
I feel
crowd
like
I
that's the
ever
one that I
wrestled in
watched.
India. Yeah,
It
could be.
was
And
outdoor. It looked amazing because it had sort of
it's
like a
looks.
football kind of feel to it because it was
Yes,
outdoors. It,
that's
oh
what
my
it is. I'm talking
gosh, it
about.
looked
We
great.
didn't have
Yeah.
like outside, like we didn't have outside mats or nothing.
No.
I remember we were I was I because nobody knew anything, so I had like crazy days those days. I would start early, like 7 8 a.m. and I would start making, because we had to make the stage. We had to like get like wedding planners, because there's nobody else like does live events. So who does events? The only person who does events is kind of wedding people, because they do
Huh.
events. It's kind of live. You're not presenting it, but it's the same thing. It's happening right now.
I
So
love that.
we would get like wedding planners every time. That was our move. And then video camera people, but nobody has shouldn't shoot sports. So who do we get? We have to get wedding cameramen as well. So we would get like wedding cameramen. So make like video footage of the weddings. We would
Oh,
get
how
like three of
funny.
them. I know. And then they don't know what the fuck we're doing. They have no idea. So I would be there early at like 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Actually, early, I would start with like 7, 8, because they have to start early, very early. So I would go, okay, first of all, cover this area somehow with anything. I don't care. So they would put like freaking wall, like a cloth boundary around it, so people can just walk in. They have to buy at least a ticket, or at least an excuse of a ticket, but they have to do something. So we're like, just cover this field at least. Okay. Then number two, okay, we're gonna have chairs now, but we need to put chairs in a way. It's not a one event where there's a groom sitting there and you just have freaking rope. You can't do that. So we have to like make sections. You know, basically a stadium setting. You have to like make that. So like when people need to cut off and move, so have this row here, make this happen, like making a diagrams, telling them like make it like a diagonal size, and then telling them, okay, this will be the entrance. What the fuck is an entrance? Okay, you don't need to know about it. Just let this area free. That's all you need to know. And then we talk to them 2 hours with them. And then we're like, okay, let's make the ring. Then I would start making a ring, and all of those wrestlers, they're like 8 of them anyway. And they were young kids. They didn't know nothing about it. They were like, oh, we are the superstars. We are here. People are taking pictures. They're not going to show up to make a ring. So it's just me with like one dude I hired. And there's just two of us fucking making a ring, a 20 by 20 ring. Then we would make the ring, start it up. And hopefully by 4 p.m., we would be done. And we go back. You can't realize on anything. You just run it however you can. And we would do that. And then that show, by the way, that show is the most excruciating story, which is very funny now. But that show, we had like close to 3,800, 3,700 people, like a very good crowd. Good crowd. Things. Yeah. Could be 35. I don't know. Like somewhere in that range.
Yeah.
Oh, 3,000, 4,000, somewhere in there. And it looks amazing because I'm in the center of the ring. It's just covered everywhere. And there's way more people watching than we have counted. Because people are watching from their roofs. Yes. People are watching from the corners. There's like at least more than 1,000 people not in the boundary who are watching. So it looks amazing from like every side. And we are already happy. I'm like, finally, we have made money. This is a good event. We can do more events now. 100% we are in profit. There's no way we're in loss here. And then we found out that we sold 500 tickets. And I'm like, what? Like, how can we sell 500? And then we found out that the dude who was the local organizer, he told his nephews and his sons to be the ticket person. Of course, he's going to say like, oh, you're my son. Do you have your friends? You guys sit, make sure nobody gets in. Got like a few bodyguards with you as well, so people can fight and all that. And you send tickets. But and you know, everybody's a lazy ass, nobody's a professional. The show started 30 minutes late because they couldn't get people in time. But still, we have to start the show. It's like we are 30, 40 minutes late already. So we started the show. And then the kids who were selling tickets realized, oh, we want to watch the show. The show started.
Oh, no.
So those assholes, I'm not joking right now. Those assholes stopped selling tickets and ran in
to
watch the show. They have never seen wrestling either. I mean, I don't blame them. They haven't seen wrestling. They've been fans since they were kids. They're like 18, 19, 24, 25 now. So they ran in, and then everybody else ran in. So the people were lining up for like an hour now to watch. They're like 1,000 people line outside. They just found out the event is free now. So this is, everybody just walked in and took whatever seats they wanted. That's why it looked so nice, by the way, because everybody was like opt in as much as they could. Nobody was sitting. The VIP row, the first 200 to like 400 people who were like invited, and like the local people have like, oh, this is the mayor of the town, and this is the important people, and then maybe like 300 tickets surrounded them were sitting, and the rest of them are just fucking on top of each other. And then that was the show.
That's mad.
And we found out we were in glorious death.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
Like, what the fuck?
That's dreadful.
Yeah. Ecstasy to agony. Yeah. Oof.
That hurts my
heart.
It
was glorious. It was one of the best stories I have.
Yeah, that's incredible. Was it sort of weird to go from working shows in front of crowds that large to, you know, smaller shows in Japan, you know, like in Ichigaya?
Yeah, that's true. But like even before that, I went to Thailand. We had like a, I actually wrestled at a Muay Thai show in Thailand.
Oh, wow.
Once. Oh, yeah. I've done every bizarre thing you can think about as a wrestler doing. I've done most of them. Believe me.
That ring must have been hard as shit.
Oh, yeah. It was just a...
Where was that?
In Thailand. You know, in Thailand, they have dedicated stadiums.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, there's big stadiums, there's small stadiums.
Yeah.
And they have shows... There's like 6 days. So Tuesday, let's just say Chiang Mai, Thai boxing. Wow. Yeah. So like it's just a show that happens. It's like Arena Mexico. Every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, there's a show. So it becomes a thing. So like
you know, like are you familiar with ONE FC? They're like the
Oh
MMA
yeah, of course,
company in
of course,
Asia.
of course. Yeah.
But yeah,
There's like a.
because they run the sort of the Friday night fights out of Lupini Stadium in Thailand. I've been thinking every week, like, this would be
Oh wow, from
amazing for
Lumpini,
wrestling.
wow.
Like, this would be such a good
Yeah.
venue for it. But yeah,
So
that's really interesting.
I did that when I was like, I think I was 19 then. I did that. That was the first time I started traveling. That was my first tour. I tried my best to meet Emi Sakura, by the way, but Emi Sakura wasn't there. She was in Japan. And then I tried meeting Pumi. Me and Sakura-san every now and then have this, because Sakura-san knows it now. So she kind of just run away from this conversation. But I started contacting Emi Sakura when I was like 18 and a half or something. Because I could go to Thailand. Thailand, I can go. Because we don't have, I need to get a proper visa to go there. It's on the right, but I can get their visa. It's not that hard. It's like very close to us. So they were. I was searching for wrestling, and there was only one wrestling, and that was Gato Moves in Thailand. And I would message them in Sakura or something. You know, just kids messaging, pretty similar to what like kids do to me now. But I was like really training and all that, and very serious about it and all those things. But she didn't speak English and I couldn't speak Japanese, so that's understandable that she knows. And she, I don't think she knows she has a Facebook, because I think she just made it because she was going to Asia and has never opened it ever. But Fumi, who runs like Setup Now, who was running Gato Move when Ami Sakura wasn't there, I messaged him a lot too. But I think he must have gotten a lot of those messages as well, so I don't really blame him. But I remember the first tours I was there, I tried so much to meet him because I knew I could like. I could have like do apart from what the shitty struggle I go through, I can have like a match somewhere or something like that. So I tried very hard, but I wrestled in that. I wrestled in like a Chiang Mai, basically like a Muay Thai stadium. So there's like one. I was one of the matches for the day, and I remember one time, it was so hilarious. It was one time they have like fixed times. So we had to, I was there for 2 days. So one day I did that match, and it was my knee was busted. I could barely walk because I
Oof.
did like a, you know, my Namaste press. I used to do that press. I did a real press, like a froggy style as well. And the brain doesn't move. It was a freaking, you know, just basically boards on a floor, to be honest. There's nothing in there. And also because they want to really move, they don't have like padding or anything. It's just a board on like
Ouch.
steel. So, but I was like super damn, like no problem. But I've done more stupid things like freaking stones in India. So it doesn't really make that much of a difference. And then the next day, I'm not joking, I was supposed to be the third match, but the promoter told us, okay, this is the time because it's a fixed show. At that time, the audience, which is mostly, by the way, tourists, it's like a tourist audience because they got like tour guides to have that as a part of the experience, which Arena Micro does too, by the way, which is a very good revenue for them. So there's like 250 to like 300 people in the venue. It's like a good Tsinkiba style venue. And obviously, it's very nice. It's filled up. People are going crazy because there's mostly foreigners who are coming to watch it. So they enjoy wrestling anyway, way more. So they were like super into it. So the first day was super fun. And the next day, the guys before us ran way over their time. First and second both. So we're supposed to have like 10 minutes, 10 minutes, 10 minutes. And then we were kind of end up being 32 minutes for those two. And then we were like, oh, the third match, boom, but the time is over. So the tour have to take their people away. So I am not joking. Music hits. I come out. And I literally, as I came out of the, like this freaking apron, whatever the clothes thing you say, I came out the gate and I see in front of me 300 people leaving the venue.
Oh no.
And I'm not joking. I didn't do the entrance. I remember laughing so hard that my jaw hurt. I remember I'm literally no. I don't know if it's like defense mechanism or I just thought it was the most hilarious thing in the
Oh,
world.
you gotta laugh at
And
it, yeah.
I came out, my music is hitting, and they just got up to leave. Literally, same timing. And they just
Ugh.
left. They could have even thought that that was the ending song.
Yeah.
Like, but they were like, the tour goes, all right, match ended, we're going. So you
Yeah.
know that 2 minute period where the next match starts, that weird silence? They were getting up in that silence. I just got in. I just stood there as the whole venue stood out and went up. And then at the end of
Man.
it, there's four people there. I'm not joking. There's like four people. Five, I think. And they are both sitting on this side, and the five of them One is a family. There's like two dudes and one mom. I think she's like an Australian mom too, because I could tell from the accent. And she has two of her kids with her. And they are into it. They
Nice.
had fun in the two matches because it's freaking, they're like, I think four or like six or like five or seven, I think those two kids. And that mom is going for it. Don't let it get to your cat. And like she's just going with the whole thing. And
Nice.
which is painful, by the way, in that sense, when she was sharing. Because I it took time for me to hear her. Because there was like 3 minutes of just people leaving. And as I'm just sitting there. So the whole idea is I'm just like five people. And then we still, of course, we still wrestle. We still wrestle. Those kids had super fun. And the mom was so loud. Their mom was so loud. She was enough for like at least 30 people.
Yeah, it's funny how that goes, isn't it?
Every most weird things you can imagine that people do in their wrestling, independent wrestlers do. I've done probably most of them. Most of them I've done. In all senses. Birthday party wrestling, of course. Busted, I have like a crooked nose. The only injury I had before, I broke my nose and like a kid's birthday, and he was having the time of his life. Like, this is wrestling. He was like 8 years old and he couldn't contain his excitement because I had like freaking bloody nose for like the whole 20 minutes.
You've certainly got some stories to
Oh,
tell.
I like we could do this podcast
Oh,
like twice a week for years
we'd never run
before I
out of
run
them.
out. Mostly probably.
So the other thing we should probably sort of talk about is you're off to the States for WrestleMania season.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Yeah, originally, like, I don't think I've think announced it. Yeah, I probably haven't. Yeah, but originally we were supposed to do something different. We had a poor plan, but we can't do that now. So I'm doing Mania. Basically, I changed the dates of the tour and all that. But I'm excited. I wanna do something new. Jersey is very strong for Choco Pro. Like New York is very, very strong. We
Yeah.
have probably the most amount of fans we have anywhere is New York outside of Japan.
Oh, that's great.
So I'm excited for that. But I've been trying to do Texas for a long time, so I'm gonna really try hard to
Yeah.
do Texas. I'm gonna try the barbecues and the meat. That's my only intention to go there to have incredible food. What else? Yeah, I don't know. I could have given up on it, but I have to go now. I need to save up some money for India. That's by the way, that's my one of the most real reasons I can give to you is I kind of have to save up the USDs to
Yeah.
make sure I do something in India. Yeah, this year I kind of really want to do that.
Because is that sort of obviously the dollar being that much stronger than the yen,
Yeah.
it's kind of like
That is true, but because here I have a life.
yeah,
I
oh, of
wrestle,
course.
I pay rent.
Yeah.
I spend money on freaking diet and proteins and freaking gym memberships and this and that and that. Like this is my life.
Yeah.
So I don't really keep, like I have the things I have here, but when I go to US, I just don't use it. Like it's like a separate thing that I do.
Sure.
Because I do that, when I do US,
Yeah.
I just don't use that. And as long as I don't use those USDs, then they just saved up. And I only use them on the things that are like it's like a challenge. Savings. Like the only thing I challenge for myself, like I really want to do for myself, and I know they want to be profitable. I know I'm doing them because I have interest in them. They don't really benefit me in my career. Mostly don't do anything for me, but I want to do them. Those are the things I only do with them. So
Yeah.
it's like a good system in that sense.
Yeah, good. Like I'm glad it makes good sense for you to come out here. Just hopefully I'll be able to make it to some kind of show you're on while you're in the
I
US.
will try New
Yeah.
Orleans. I need to reach out to a few friends. I'll see. I'll see if I can show up there.
Even if it doesn't work out for a show, the food here is
Yeah.
incredible. I think you'd really
Oh,
like it
wow.
here.
That's really nice.
So, you're very welcome to come and visit if you would
That'd be
like.
nice.
I'll show
That'd
you
be
a good
nice.
time.
Yeah. It is a like, because we have talked quite a bit about myself. We have talked. With Bass Pros of all the things we want to do and
Yeah.
the dreams and the hopes and all of those things. And I think when I talk to you guys, it's basically like talking to old buddies that you every now and then talk to and just mess around, talk around,
Yeah.
oh, what's been you up to, what's been you up to. And like that's how I feel like we talk most of the
Yeah,
time now.
absolutely.
And And like, I think because of that I when I talk to you guys, I don't really talk to you guys mostly about like what wrestling is and what like things I
No.
want and all those things. I feel like I talk to you mostly about my experiences. It's quite different from how like I do interviews. I try to be very good when I do interviews. I want to be more informative. I want to give them good information about at least the people who will be watching and the kind of product they are. But with you guys, I mostly I think talk about the experiences I had and which was fun and like not fun. Oh, and most of the time is like, oh, I'm really interested about this thing these days and what do you guys feel about it? I think that's how I talk to you guys.
It's nice. I always
So
really enjoy
I
it.
end up talking to you guys about my interests so much. It is a weird experience from like this side as well, because that's not mostly how I talk about when I do like interviews of any kind. And because of it, like I think, the things that I'm really thinking about these days, most of the time, if I have like introspective thoughts about something, or I'm working out, or I'm doing sauna, and I'm just in my head, is like I'm 28 now, which is not a bad age. I think that's
No.
where, at least male athletes, that's where it starts. Like you in your getting in your prime, that's where it starts. So body wise, physique wise, I'm really healthy. I think I'm way better at wrestling in all sense. And I think it's interesting because in all sense, where I could have been, I'm way ahead of that. Like thinking wise, I'm last year I did AW, I did CMLL, I did New Japan. For like a guy from India who's like, nah. Like even English is a second language and all that, I'm doing pretty good from what I think about it. And on the other hand, because it's I feel like this is from where my time starts in a sense. The fact that I am still at the starting line scares me and excites me at the same time. I'm happy that in a way my story hasn't really changed in any way. It hasn't betrayed me or catapulted me in any way. It has always been, oh, you do a lot and then something happens. And then you do a lot and then something happens. And then slowly and surely, you kind of get to where you want to be. And I think that's how it's always been. So I get like a lot of when I announce like stuff here, if, since I did, I think because I did CMLL and like New Japan and all that, the most of the interactions that people do to me, apart from like Chocopro fans, and they're always, they're very nice people, and they're like, do this, and I like the match, and like I like you Best Bros having fun, Joe Pros this and all that. But like when people normally just interact with me, I randomly get people asking either two things. Either it's like somebody would like a Facebook, like Indian fans would be like, why you never go to WWE? Like, because in India, people still mostly gives a shit about
Yeah,
WWE
of
only.
course.
But and then like in Japanese fans would be go like, why you don't go to New Japan and all those things. And I before I would be like, no. And now when I think about it, it gives me like a very interesting perspective, as in like I mostly have the things I have most of the time on my career haven't really been given. It's like I haven't had a big sale to me. Most of the things I have, and I think that's why me and Chocopro suit in so well. And that's why I'm meeting myself and Ami Sakura were able to like really make an incredible partnership in that sense. And I think Gato Mugen and like Masan and like Mei-chan as well. I think because they too are kind of like making their own path kind of people. Like especially Ami Sakura.
Oh,
Like
massively.
she made Chocopro out of the darkness of this world. That's how she started. And I think that's why I was so like incredibly attracted to them since even the Gato Mugen days. And seeing those people around me and seeing the quality I see, seeing all those things I see, it makes those questions extra interesting. As to like, I should be trying to do that in every sense. I'm like, of course, I should be. Like, I'm from India. Of course, I should be trying to go to WWE. That's the dream. That's why I became a wrestler. There's no other reason for me to be a wrestler.
Yeah, of
Those
course.
dudes gave me the dream. Of course, I should be trying. But like, to not be in a hurry of any sense, or to even be trying, gives me a very, very different perspective. Like, oh, I started a company and then I started to come here and then I did that, did that, did that. That makes sense. I'm kind of on the same road. I'm kind of on the literally on the same. And that's why I think India interests me now after all this time.
Sure.
Because there seems to be a new things can be made,
Yeah.
things that only I can do. It
Absolutely.
could be that, oh, WWE picks me up and then I'm like in the product development in 2 years, I'm doing Raw, SmackDown, and there's money and there's all those things, of course. But like, it could also be that I might be doing 10,000 people's shows in 1 year in India,
Yeah.
or maybe 20. Imagine a 30,000 people show. Imagine that.
Yeah.
So like, those things could too. And I think now, in all honesty, both things excite me equally.
Sure.
Like the thing I want to do does not like pale in comparison to me in any sense. And it's a fun time to think about it.
Yeah.
Risky, scary, goddamn scary, but fun.
Yeah, the world is your oyster by the sounds of things, and a big part of that seems to be being surrounded by these great like-minded people that, they're on the
Yeah.
same wavelength as you and, are going to support you in trying whatever madness,
Yeah.
comes to
Yeah.
mind.
That is true. That is very, very true. Yeah. But I think you guys will be there. We'll talk many times often. If anything I try to do, I'll let you guys know
Yeah.
in first foremost
Oh yeah.
exclusives.
Well, we should probably wrap up here because
Yeah, we should.
we've taken up
Because I
your
can ramble
time,
on a
and
long time.
it's late your way as well, so
Yeah, it's getting started. But thank you very much, guys. It's been fantastic.
time to get out and party.
Probably.
Keep us posted on anything that's happening while you're in the States,
Yeah, of course.
and yeah, we'll speak to you again soon.
No problem, guys. Take care. It's been fantastic. Liam, take care of the family. And you, don't get stabbed in an alley in the US.
I'll do
Stay
my
safe,
best.
dude. We can't miss you. We can't do without you.
I've got health
Hang in there.
insurance now. It's fine. It's fine.
All right, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
And we're back. And that was the always charming Balianaki.
I don't know about you, but I always love when we get Aki talking about India and the scene in India, and it's
It's
just
fascinating.
that's the kind of thing that really appeals to me as
Yeah.
a wrestling fan, the stuff that I don't know about
Yeah,
yet,
exactly.
or
The stuff that's kind of off the radar a little bit. Not necessarily always harder to find, but just less visible, if that makes sense.
yeah, I mean, I would, if you haven't already, I would recommend checking out some WrestleSquare shows on
Yeah.
YouTube. There's a few up there. The one that we were talking about, where it's an outdoor event, the atmosphere is incredible. So absolutely do go check that out. It's well worth
Yeah,
your time.
I'll add the WrestleSquare YouTube link in the show notes just to make it nice and easy if anybody listening would like to have a little watch.
Boom. Okay, friends. Well, let's wrap this thing up. If you wanted to let us know what you thought of the podcast, we'd be absolutely thrilled to hear your views. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram. We are at WrestlingPod. That's wrestling about the E. WrestlingPod.com is the place where you can find all of our links to listen, to leave a rating on your podcast platform of choice. That would be very, very helpful indeed. We'd be very grateful. And also to find mine and Gareth's personal Twitters if you want to interact with us on an individual basis. That's absolutely fine as well.
Yeah, and if you want to help us keep the lights on here at Wrestling Pod Towers, you can do so by throwing a couple of pounds, dollars, Australian dollars, New Zealand dollars, yen, whatever the currency where you may
Rupees, we'll take
be.
it.
Yeah, we'll happily receive it. So yeah, there's a couple of ways you can help support the pod. For a one-time off, Ko-fi is probably the best one. That's ko-fi.com/wrestlingpod, so you can give a one-time or monthly recurring donation there. That just helps to pay for things like hosting the podcast, paying for translation services, streaming services, all the little bits and pieces that cost money. It would be really helpful to have some support there. And then the other method you can use to help support us is Patreon, which is patreon.com, patreon.com/thewrestlingpodcast, where you can choose a membership level starting at £3, going all the way up to £16.50. There's a variety of different rewards depending on which tier you choose. Do have a little look, see if any of those appeal to you. You know, we'd love to have you on board.
Brilliant. All right, friends. Thanks so much for joining us once again. In the meantime, stay happy, stay safe, and enjoy the game.